stopped for a few minutes to admire the clock mechanism of Rinaldo Gandolfi enclosed in a glass bell. On the left pillar, you will be able to see the Bologna coat of arms engraved at the top with the inscription Rinaldo Gandolfi, member of the Clementine Academy, made in 1773. Rinaldo Gandolfi, Accademico Clementino, fece 1773. Just below. On the right pillar instead, within a coat of arms, you will be able to read the Latin inscription that certifies that the work was commissioned by the Bolognese Senate and status Senatus Bolognensis iusso constructum anno domini millesimo septecentesimo settantatreesimo, built at the behest of the Bolognese Senate in the year of the Lord 1773. Within the glass bell, you can also notice a whole series of tools that are needed by the watch attendants to constantly perform the precious activity of maintenance. To the right of the mechanism, you can also notice a horizontal sundial on the internal window sill of a small window facing south, which is capable of marking the time of 9 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. This sundial was probably built simultaneously to Gandolfi's machine at the end of the 18th century to facilitate the adjustment of the clock by the conductor. To be true, two sundials already previously existed that performed the task just described to regulate the previous machine. These were placed one on the eastern wall of the tower itself and the other on the south-facing wall of the Arengo Tower of the Mayor Building, Palazzo del Podestà. There are also curious anecdotes related to the history of the clock, such as that of the conductor Francesco Pallari. The watchmaker, who was hired in 1702 as a clockkeeper by the city government, decided to supplement his salary by reselling, at the ancient pawn shop, not only elements of the clock, but even the keys and iron bars, which were used to lock the wall structures and which can still be seen in the room nowadays. The Bolognese Senate discovered its illicit activity in 1716 and by mutual agreement with the Cardinal Legate fired Pallari, bringing him to justice. From that moment on, the subsequent conductors were forced, at the time of their appointment, to pay a deposit of 3,000 lire. The same master watchmaker, Rinaldo Gandolfi, had many problems. In fact, as soon as the new machine was assembled, the erstwhile conductor of the municipality of Bologna, Luigi Fabbri, carried out numerous tampering works with the complicity of the technician Giuseppe Bruni to discredit the work of Rinaldo Gandolfi and keep the position of conductor. Fortunately, the misdeeds were discovered a few months later, and Gandolfi was appointed official clubkeeper of the municipality of Bologna. One last anecdote not to be overlooked concerns the relatively recent history of the clock machine. In 1979, the clock hands of the town hall stopped working. It was only thanks to the intervention of the master watchmaker Giuseppe Fini that the machine was restored and transformed into an electromechanical object. Fini, with the help of porters, managed to disassemble certain parts of the imposing 18th century clock and repair the two broken teeth of the escape wheel. Once the gear was reassembled, Giuseppe Fini added an electrical device outside the original clock, without making any changes to the latter. The additional device was designed and built to automatically load the two weights moving the machine, an operation that at the time was still done manually. In addition, to maintain the gears and to soften the phenomena of thermal expansion of the metal components, Fini inserted an automatic lubrication system and a stove with a timer, which was necessary to keep the temperature constant and optimize the running of the tool. The clock works with this mechanism even today, which is constantly assisted by the maintenance work of the Fini Company, now managed by Giuseppe's daughter and son-in-law. Now, go down the stairs and retrace your steps back to admire a splendid view of Piazza Maggiore. Pause the audio guide and switch it on again once you reach the terrace. Now, you are along the battlements that crown the top of the building, which are the result of the restorations of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Here you can admire the clock face. Now, as you can see, its appearance is very plain. Originally, however, there were several decorations that we have traces of thanks to ancient documents. In fact, we know that in the 15th century two painted and gilded angels were placed to the left and right of the dial, while the symbols of the four evangelists were painted at the four corners. These decorations were replaced in 1558 by two river divinities, probably to indicate the Reno and Savena rivers. In addition, above the clock, ever since its installation, there was the aforementioned carousel placed above a small stone gallery with two doors at both ends. At the stroke of every hour, the small door to the left was opened, from which an angel with a trumpet followed by the three wise men came out, fixed on a large wooden wheel. These automatons then bowed in front of the terracotta Madonna and Child to then re-enter through the door on the right. The carousel was also accompanied by the music of an organ and the sound of a bell as a star with silver hood rose and fell. The automatons are now preserved in the municipal art collections, located on the second floor of this building and whose visit is included in the ticket. In the same museum and in the same room where the automatons are located, you can admire a series of drawings of restoration projects by Alfonso Rubiani and by the Bologna Historical Artistic Committee, a committee which was established in 1889 to promote the restoration and renovation of ancient buildings and palaces in the city. Among these is the project carried out by Alfonso Rubiani for the reconstruction of the tower in its 15th century appearance, with the ancient dial and the carousel. In front of you, you can instead admire a splendid view of the heart of the city. On your left stands the Cathedral of Bologna with its imposing bell tower on Via Indipendenza, followed by the Altabella and Prendiparte towers, the latter also known as the Crown Tower. This is followed by the Mayor's Building, Palazzo del Podestà, with its Arengo Tower, another bell tower of the municipality of Bologna. The latter is echoed by the two symbols of Bologna par excellence, the Garisenda Leaning Tower and the slender Asinelli Tower. In front of you, in addition to the spectacular Palazzo dei Banchi, which is the result of the work of the great mannerist architect Jacopo Barozzi, known as Vignola, you can admire the dome of Santa Maria della Vita, which houses the aforementioned lamentation over the dead Christ, Compianto sul Cristo Morto, by Niccolò dell'Arca. Continuing clockwise, you can admire the imposing facade of the Basilica of San Petronio, another Bolognese civic building, which was built starting in 1390, followed by the Notaries Building, Palazzo dei Notai, that was built as the seat of the Notaries Guild at the end of the 14th century and restored by Alfonso Rubiani in 1908. The latter building stands between Piazza Maggiore and Via d'Azeglio, formerly known as Strada San Mamolo, which includes important buildings such as Corte Galluzzi, of which you can see the tower, the Church of San Giovanni Battista dei Celestini, as well as the house of the famous singer and songwriter Lucio Dalla, that is today open to the public. Looking over the hills, you can also appreciate in front of you the complex of San Michele in Bosco and the Aldini and Baruzziana villas, examples of neoclassical architecture in the city. Take a few more minutes to take some selfies and panoramic photos of the wonderful view. Pause the audio guide and switch it on again when you go back inside. After descending the steps and before returning to the stairs, you can admire from this gallery and right in front of you a group of frescoes that are in a fragmentary state and which you probably already caught a glimpse of when located in the first room. It is a decorative frieze, still under study, which runs along the wall and has a profane character. Mythological figures succeed each other in triumphs of arms and plant decorations, while in the center, what remains of an ancient fireplace is clearly visible, which shows how these rooms have undergone important transformations and changes in use. Now we have concluded your visit to the tower of Palazzo d'Accursio, but you can further continue your visit on the second floor of the building and, more specifically, have a look at the municipal art collections that were previously mentioned.